1914, the Gentile times. One of the nice things about it was that it was foretold by our Pastor Russell, brought in some beautiful information on it. But let's just have a look at what happens. What was the setting for it? The setting was at the temple of Jerusalem. The Lord had just given them the lesson of the poor widow and her generosity in giving to the temple compared to those who had much. And he saw a poor widow putting in 2 copper coins, and he said, "Truly, I say to you, this widow put in more than all of them." The disciples were admiring Herod's temple. It was the beauty of the temple when our Lord foretold about the destruction of the temple that they so admired. And we read that in Luke 21 and 6. "The days will come in which there will be not one stone upon another which will not be torn down." The disciples naturally asked, "Teacher, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" Jesus then warned them that when they saw Jerusalem surrounded by the armies, they were to flee to the country and must not enter the city. This has already been brought up. And we're told, "Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those times, for there will be great distress upon the land and the wrath to this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled down underfoot by the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Luke 21:23-24. The Roman legions surrounded the city and began to slowly squeeze the life out of the Jewish stronghold. By the year 70 AD, the attackers had breached Jerusalem's outer walls and began a systematic ransacking of the city. The assault culminated in the burning and the destruction of the temple that served as the centre of Judaism. Did the disciples really understand what was to happen? The records show that they do not understand what the Lord had told them. And at our Lord's death, they stated, "We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." Luke 24:21. And then again, after his resurrection, they asked, "Lord, is it at this time that you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" So much of their master's message had been about the coming kingdom, and so it was only natural that they were in expectation of its coming. In their excitement, they had forgotten the words of the master, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." So why did the disciples not understand the statement, "Jerusalem will be trodden underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled"? Dating of the time of the Gentiles was written in the book of Daniel for all to read. And yet Daniel was told, "But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end time. Many will go back and forward, and knowledge will be increased. And again, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time." It's interesting, the words were there for all to read. But the meaning of the words, and especially the timing of the prophecies, was not to be revealed until God's due time. That is, the end time. The first clue to what was meant by the Gentile times can be found in Daniel 2, where Daniel tells King Nebuchadnezzar, "You, O king, were looking, and behold, there was a single great statue. That statue, which was large and of extraordinary splendor, was standing in front of you, and its appearance was awesome. The head of the statue was made of fine gold, its breasts and its arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay." You continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed all at the same time and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, so not a trace of them was found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Daniel interprets the dream, telling the king that the image represented four kingdoms. And the four kingdoms started with Babylon, followed by three inferior kingdoms. And we have the kingdom of Medo-Persia. We had the Greek Empire. And then we had the Roman Empire, starting out as legs, representing the east and the west part of the empire, with Rome and Constantinople each taking their turn as the capital of Rome, of the Roman Empire. The toes of iron and clay represent the 10 kingdoms of Europe, which originally received their power and authority from the papacy, and were in power in 1914. And thank you, Brother Todd, for your message this morning, because it made my life easier. The iron represented the civil governments, and the clay represented the false church. The feet of iron and clay represented the Holy Roman Empire, the civil government running under the authority of the papacy. The problem that arises with the vision is that it does not give an answer to how long these kingdoms would have dominion over Israel. The search for these clues had to start back in Leviticus chapter 26, where God tells Israel that they were to be punished seven times for their sins. This is mentioned four times in verses 18, 20, 21, and 28. We can now return to Daniel chapter 4, where King Nebuchadnezzar has had another dream. This time about a tree, which was large and strong, and was chopped down, leaving only a stump with a band of iron and brass around it. It is interesting that the number seven is mentioned also four times in Daniel's chapter 4, verses 16, 23, 25, and also in 32. Also out of interest, the iron and bronze is also mentioned amongst the four punishments that were to be given to Israel. Daniel states then that this is the interpretation, O King, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King, that you be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field, and you will be given grass to eat like the cattle, and be drenched with the dew of heaven. And 7 periods of time will pass over you, until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. And in that it was commanded to leave the stump with the roots of the tree. Your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that it is the heaven that rules. Therefore, O King, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sins by doing righteousness, and from your iniquity by showing mercy to the poor, in case that there may be a prolonging of your prosperity. And all this happened to Nebuchadnezzar the king. The word translated as period of time mentioned in this chapter, according to Professor Strong, is idon, a Chaldean word, a set time, technically a year. So the time of Nebuchadnezzar was to be punished would be 7 years. But how does this help with the calculating of the times of the Gentiles? We have to look back into Jewish history to the times of the spies going into the promised land. The spies were in the land for 40 days. And after giving a false report, God punished the Jewish people with 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Numbers 14 and 34. According to the number of the days which you spied upon the land, 40 days, for every day you will bear your guilt a year, even 40 years, and you will know my opposition. Taking that a year consists of 12 months of 30 days, or of a 360 days, and the fact that Nebuchadnezzar was to be punished for 7 years, typified a total of 2,520 years of Gentile dominion over Israel. However, there was still part of the puzzle to be answered. What was the starting time of the time of Gentiles? Some historical sources conclude that Nebuchadnezzar conquered Judah in 1605. However, a careful reading of the scriptures reveals that the correct date for his conquest of Judah was actually 606 BC. The prophet Jeremiah recorded the words that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the 4th year, Jehoiakim, the son of Josheb, the king of Judah. That was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Jehoiakim's 4th year was 605 BC. However, the prophet Daniel declares that Jerusalem was taken by Nebuchadnezzar's army a year earlier, in the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Israel, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it, and that year was 606. With this starting date, we find that the end of the Gentile times comes in 1914. 1914 was a pivotal date in the history of mankind. Jerusalem was still under the control of the Gentile kings, under the Ottoman Empire. We have to remember our Lord's words, Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled.